You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As part of Labour's coalition deal with New Zealand First, they promised to support the so-called Waka Jumping Bill. The bill would allow a party leader to expel an MP if they believe the MP has acted in a way to distort political party proportionality and if they have the support of two-thirds of the MPs in the party. The bill has been roundly criticised as going against the Bill of Rights Act and is seen as undemocratic. I spoke with Professor Claudia Geringer from Victoria University about the bill and the problems with it. I began by asking her to explain why the government feels the need to introduce the bill.
Well, they say that it will enhance the integrity of the public confidence in the integrity of the electoral system and also the principle of proportionality. I'm very sceptical, particularly about the first claim. I think it actually undermines electoral integrity. Can I perhaps start by acknowledging, you know, why it's so, this idea that we legislate to throw defecting MPs out of Parliament is so attractive. I mean, it really does sound like a good idea, doesn't it? Because under the MMP system, you know, we parties are elected to Parliament with a certain percentage of the vote, and it feels really wrong and unfair for a foot soldier in one of those parties to then change their minds and abandon ship. And in many cases, that is, you know, that's right. But the problem is that when we look at it more carefully, it turns out that not all cases are that simple, and that party hopping legislation might solve some problems, but it creates others. So can I give you a couple of examples?
Yeah.
So in 2004, Tariana Turia left the Labour Party in the face of widespread dissatisfaction amongst Labour's Māori voters about Labour's sponsorship of the Foreshore and Seabed Act. Now, this was under the old party hopping legislation, so she was forced to resign from Parliament and stand at a by-election. If she'd been a List MP, she wouldn't have had that option. But it's far from clear in that case that her resignation could be regarded as unscrupulous, regardless of whether or not she'd been a List or an electorate MP. So another example, and this one I think is actually even more pertinent, under MMP, it's in the way of things that, particularly in the second half of the electoral cycle, MPs are going to want to start repositioning themselves for the next electoral contest. And sometimes that may involve new parties emerging, new ones forming out of old ones and so on. That's what happened in 2002 when Jim Anderton wanted to establish the Progressive Coalition Party. And the party hopping legislation created this sort of bizarre situation where he had to sort of pretend to remain in the Parliamentary Alliance Party while campaigning under a different banner. So the point is that not all political defections are unscrupulous. And indeed, the vitality of our system relies on a degree of healthy political realignment during the course of the electoral cycle.
I mean, are there actually that many defections in New Zealand?
Because no.
It doesn't
so that's
seem to happen
the other side
terribly
of it.
Often.
Exactly. It happened a little bit at the beginning, as you'd expect, when MMP first came in and everyone was kind of jostling to sort of sort out where they'd sit. There were a few defections, but there are almost, you know, it's just not a problem. And that's the other side of it, that it's a heavy-handed intervention for something that just isn't a problem in New Zealand. And in some countries where this kind of legislation has been promoted, party hopping is a huge problem. So, for example, there's a much-cited example from India between the fourth and fifth general elections in 1967, between 1967 and 1972, from among 4,000 members in various federal and state legislatures, there were nearly 2,000 cases of defection and counter-defection.
Wow.
And that was what provided that. Now, and that, there's no doubt, is there, that you've got a problem with electoral integrity.
Yeah.
Like that's massive corruption on a massive scale. And you would expect a heavy-handed intervention. In New Zealand, we don't have that problem. On the other hand, this kind of legislation does create other problems, and that's why I oppose it.
And you've also criticised the bill as contravening the Bill of Rights Act. And how does it do this?
Yeah, so perhaps the bit that we haven't got to in terms of the evils of the legislation is the way that it essentially chills internal party debate and chills dissent within parties. So effectively it's allowing the party to expel a member, not just from the party, but effectively from Parliament, if they're creating problems. So it places a lot of power in the hands of party hierarchies and chills dissent. And for that reason, everybody accepts that this legislation is a limit, both on the right to freedom of association, but also on the right to freedom of expression, because of this chilling effect on political dissent. Now, my view is it's difficult to argue that it's a reasonable limit, really for the reasons we've just given, which is that it's not needed. It's a heavy-handed solution to a problem that doesn't really exist, and for that reason you can't really say that the limit on those rights is justified.
So this would apply to backbench MPs as well as cabinet
higher-ups? It applies to anyone that gets on the wrong side of the party hierarchy, potentially.
As you mentioned, there was a similar bill in place from 2001 to 2005. Did we see a lot of problems with this bill when it was in effect?
Well, it's hard to see the problems because you don't know what behaviour is being chilled. You don't know who might have raised some issues about legislation they didn't support or that felt that they couldn't behave in a dissenting manner because this legislation was in place. You certainly saw the situation that I just described, for example, of Tariana Turia having to stand at a by-election, which everybody knew she was going to get re-elected. It cost the taxpayer an awful lot of money to hold that by-election, and it really was a situation where you would have thought in the circumstances that she had a mandate simply to stay in the House.
Does our political system, MMP, does it make party hopping easier? Is there some kind of reason for it in this sense, or not really?
Only in the sense that it's a multi-party parliament, and so in a sense we would expect there to be more healthy political realignment as part of the process. So we don't just have two parties. There is always going to be the possibility of new parties forming, and that's not a bad thing, that's potentially a good thing, right? But when new parties form, they often form out of existing parties. So party splits, party mergers, that kind of activity is actually a perfectly healthy activity in a democracy. It's probably going to be a little bit more common under a multi-party system.
And you also said it's a harmful extension of legal regulation into the political arena. Can you discuss this a bit?
I guess the point being that, you know, I started by acknowledging that in many cases political defections may be unscrupulous. But the first question before you sort of come in with a law is, are there other ways to regulate the conduct? And my view would be that this is conduct that is actually being well controlled by political incentives.
So there are sort of measures in place.
Well, MPs ultimately care about what the public think about them. And MPs know that, on the whole, New Zealand voters don't think that this is scrupulous behaviour. They don't want their MPs defecting. And MPs are well aware of that. And this is a control, and I would suggest that it must be an effective control. Political sanctions must be effective because we see so little of this behaviour.
And just finally, do you think the bill will still go through, despite the clear opposition to it?
I really have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Obviously, New Zealand First want it. Labour have made a commitment to supporting it for that reason. I guess the Greens are the wild card.
Yeah, the Greens, that's sort of an odd one, because they were very opposed to similar legislation before, weren't they?
They were, but in the end, it's all about what you're prepared to give away in order to be part of a coalition, and we all understand that if you're a coalition government, then there's going to be some rats that you have to swallow, and the question is how big a rat is this, and are the Greens going to be prepared to swallow it?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.